My guest at this time is Hans von Spakovsky. He is a former Justice Department official who is now a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He is also the author, along with John Fund, of Obama's Enforcer, Eric Holder's Justice Department. And Hans, it's great to have you with us.
Well, I appreciate you speaking with me.
Well, this book certainly lays out the case that you believe Eric Holder's leadership at the Justice Department is very different than anyone else who has held the position as Attorney General because of how he has politicized the office. Let's kind of talk about how he got there. I am very good friends with a retired FBI special agent who says years ago in the 80s and the early part of the 1990s, Eric Holder had an extremely sterling reputation among the law enforcement community, and certainly my friend is a pretty conservative guy. What changed?
He just became more and more political as the years went by. In fact, we talked to a former Justice Department lawyer, a 40-year veteran, who actually worked with Obama when he first got to the Justice Department, and that was straight out of law school. And he also had a high opinion of him, but that opinion changed over the years because he went from being a very nonpartisan professional lawyer to having basically politics and ideology driving him. This particular lawyer that we talked to thinks that some of that may have been influenced by the woman he married because of the very bitter attitude she has towards the experience of black Americans.
So if Eric Holder were Attorney General for a different president, he still would, you think, bring this mindset to the job, or do you think his ideological symmetry to the president is a big factor here?
Well, I think that is a lot of it, his ideological symmetry with the president. I mean, they both agree on and have this progressive vision of America. But you can see this kind of behavior also starting and accelerating during the Clinton administration, because many people may forget during the Clinton administration, he was actually the number two guy at the Justice Department, and he did things there like recommend pardons for 16 terrorists in American jails. Why? Well, they were Puerto Rican terrorists, and the thought was at the time that this might help Hillary Clinton with her Senate run in New York. So sacrificing national security for political advantage.
Some might be looking at this, Hans, and say, well, the Attorney General's a political appointee. Of course he's going to have political leanings. If you go back to a conservative president, you've got an Attorney General like Ed Meese, who is a colleague of yours, obviously leans to the right. Janet Reno leaned to the left. John Ashcroft leaned to the right. Now Eric Holder leans to the left. How is this political bent far different than the personal leanings of previous Attorney Generals?
Well, look, we're not complaining about his political leanings. It's what we're complaining about is the way Holder has put politics at the forefront ahead of justice. You can look at prior attorney generals and you will find that they very carefully treaded the line between, on the one hand, working for the president and trying to put his priorities in place, but on the other hand, realizing that they are the attorney general and the interests of justice, and in particular, nonpartisan enforcement of the law, takes a higher priority. And past attorney generals of both parties have done that very well. That is not the way Holder has run the Justice Department. He obviously considers himself part of the president's political team first, attorney general a distant second. And you can see that in the way he's conducted himself and the way they have politicized the prosecution process.
We're talking with Hans von Spakovsky. The book is Obama's Enforcer. Let's look at some of the general principles that you and John Fund bring up in the book, and you certainly provide examples to back them up. Number one is, in certain cases, simply choosing not to enforce the existing law. Immigration is an example of that. Drug laws is another example. And the Federal Defense of Marriage Act is a high-profile example, since that obviously ended up at the Supreme Court. Talk about his approach to those issues and how that differs from the way it should be.
Prior attorney generals have all agreed, and again, this is regardless of party, that the attorney general has a very high duty to defend laws passed by Congress, because otherwise you would give the attorney general basically the ability to veto legislation passed by Congress and signed by prior presidents. And the only exception to that has been ever recognized by the Justice Department are laws passed by Congress that directly intrude into the constitutional authority of the president. Those situations are very rare. This attorney general believes basically that he can refuse to defend any law that he doesn't like. And that's the way he has approached his office. That is extremely dangerous. It violates separation of powers. It can help tear apart the kind of constitutional structure we have. But that's the way he's done it. And he's trying to spread that view. You know, he has tried to persuade state attorney generals to take a similar point of view. And unfortunately, some of them, like the attorney general of Virginia, have followed that directive.
Why has he been called on this so infrequently, at least in a very public way?
The media really has been very complicit in not criticizing the attorney general and, frankly, supporting him. And some of that, I think, is because, you know, they like the Obama administration. They like what it's doing. And because they like the policy outcomes. I think what they are not realizing is that, well, they may like the public policy outcomes of what the attorney general is doing, but they should understand that he is setting a precedent. And in the future, if a Republican president comes in with a Republican attorney general, that attorney general may decide that he or she doesn't want to enforce particular laws that were passed by a prior administration, such as perhaps the Obama administration. And Holder will have set the precedent for doing that.
Another issue you bring up, and I, based on your writing, I can tell this is something that deeply bothers you, and that is what you consider the politicization of the Office of Legal Counsel within the Justice Department. You basically describe this as the last vestige of real independence, even outside of the political affiliation between the president and the attorney general. Explain how Holder has turned that against its normal function.
Yeah, people need to understand the Office of Legal Counsel is a very special office within the Justice Department. Its job has always been to provide legal opinions to the president, in particular on the constitutionality of proposed legislation and actions that the president wants to take. And it has the highest, most sterling reputation of any office or division within the Justice Department. Only the best lawyers go to work there, and they've always been known as an office that they provide an objective opinion. They don't care who's in the White House or what opinion the White House actually would like to have. Unfortunately, really for the first time in its entire history, Eric Holder has changed that. He has installed someone who will give him basically the legal opinions he wants, despite them not being correct. And the worst example of that was, in the example of when the president made recess appointments to the National Labor Relations Board in a way that many people believe was unconstitutional. He was asked what the legal basis was for that. And so after the president had committed that act, all of a sudden the Office of Legal Counsel provided an opinion. We spoke to veterans of that office who said that opinion was an embarrassment. It was very clear they had written the conclusion they wanted and then tried to make up the law to fit it. And some of the arguments they made were described as laughable by a former OLC lawyer who had worked for several different administrations.
And as you point out in the book, 9 times the U.S. Supreme Court has unanimously rejected the Justice Department's argument in various cases, showing that even both of the president's appointees did not buy their arguments on those various cases. One of the things that I think a lot of people, Hans, when they look at politicization of the Justice Department, it's one thing to see rights in general infringed upon. That's bad enough, and people like to fight against that, obviously. But when they see individual people, for lack of a better word, being bullied, and you have arguments in here and cases in here about somebody being threatened to be fined $75,000 a day for an environmental violation, which seems very suspect. Is there any way to quantify how frequent this is in this administration, how it compares to other Justice Departments in the past?
I think it's much worse. It's hard to quantify that, although in one part of the book we actually do quantify the fact that and this is a little bit off of this topic, but it's somewhat related, and that is the administration and the Justice Department have been engaging in what we call collusive settlements. These are what we call sue and settle cases where the department will actually go and solicit one of their political allies, a political advocacy organization, the Sierra Club, for example, or Greenpeace or something like that, to say, look, why don't you guys sue us claiming that we haven't, for example, issued a particular type of environmental regulation that we all want but don't have the legal authority to issue. And then as soon as you file the lawsuit, we will not fight it. We'll immediately surrender and agree to settle. And the settlement agreement, which we can get rubber stamped by a federal judge, will let us do whatever we want. And those kinds of cases have skyrocketed under the Holder Justice Department and under this administration. And that's a pretty clear indication of the kind of abuse that the department is engaging in.
Hans von Spakovsky, former Justice Department official. He is now a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation. He's the co-author, along with John Fund, of Obama's enforcer, Eric Holder's Justice Department. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.